Hello, welcome to Car Talk from National Public
What's
Radio.
What's so funny?
After 30 years, you figured out how to use the... he's figuring out how to use the controller so he can hear in the headphones.
Well, it's getting louder and softer.
You turn the dial and it gets louder. You turn it the other way, it gets softer.
It gets louder and softer without my touching the dial at all.
Folks, you see what... Yes. Anyway, we're Click and Clack, the Tapper Brothers. We're broadcasting this week from the Rodney Dangerfield Department here at Car Talk Plaza.
Do you actually remember Rodney Dangerfield?
Of course I remember. I can't get no respect. You know, my wife's cooking so bad the flies chipped in and bought us a screen door.
That's him. Well, this stuff did not come from Rodney Dangerfield.
You know why?
Yeah.
He's dead, I think.
But you could say it was inspired by him. It's from the Washington Post Invitational, which asked its readers to complete this sentence. You know you're a loser if...
And I guess you have some of the responses, right?
I do. You know you're a loser if, in order for the crossword to come out right, 14 across has to be Marie Antoinette. That's from a guy named Mark Neymark. Here's another one. You know you're a loser if, when your wife went to shop for a new mattress, she took the dog with her. That's from a guy named Dave Prevar. Here's another one from Larry Young. You know you're a loser when you hear this. Mr. Magliazzi, we received the result of your recent IQ test, and I have brought along these finger puppets to help explain what it means. You know you're a loser if your first novel is reviewed in Landfill Digest. That's from John O'Byrne. Okay, here's another one. Beverly Shop sent this one up. You know you're a loser if the babysitter says, "You mean there were four of them?"
Well, look, if you have a question about your car or your status for that matter, give us a call at 888-CAR-TALK. That's 888-227-8255. Hello, you're on Car Talk.
Hi, this is Genevieve Van Dievender from Morgantown,
Whoa,
West Virginia.
Too many letters. Genevieve, huh?
Yeah.
Good enough.
Well, I have a 2002 Kia Spectra, and I've owned it, you know, since it was brand new.
You know, that's one of the few cars that's actually a plural.
Yeah,
never mind. Never mind. Don't get started.
No, I remember that.
Oh, everybody remembers it. Anyway, go ahead.
I have a 14-year-old son who believes that he knows everything.
They do at that age.
Well, yeah. Well,
by the way, how do you like the Kia?
I really like it.
Yeah.
It's got its issues, but, you know, it's been fairly good.
Yeah. How do you like the son?
Well,
is he all right?
Right now.
All right. What's he trying to convince you of?
He's trying to tell me that the gas gauge is broken, but I'm fairly sure that it's the fuel pump that needs replaced.
What's the problem?
Well, when I go out and every time I try and start it, I turn the key and it goes and then it won't catch. So I have to turn the key completely off and turn it again.
Yeah.
And, you know, the engine will catch.
Okay, and you think it's what?
I think it's the fuel pump.
And what does he think?
Well, he thinks it's the gas gauge that's wrong because I've been running out of gas.
Okay, you're both wrong.
Well, let's go.
Thanks for calling, though.
Thanks.
Hello, you're on Car Talk.
Well, let's. When you say you turn the key and it goes roar,
mm-hmm.
Is that the noise it typically makes when it does start?
No, that's a different noise, and it's been running out of gas when I say that I have a quarter tank.
Well, you know what? I think you need a gas gauge.
Oh no.
Well, you may, but that's not the reason it doesn't start.
Okay.
No, you got several things wrong here.
Oh, great.
How many miles are on this car now?
We travel a lot, so it's got 130,000.
Really?
Oh, that's wonderful.
Yeah.
It sounds like...
Well, how does it sound when it starts?
Give us some, no sound to the mm-hmm. point at which the engine is running. You get in,
uh-huh.
let me see, you close the door, you put mm-hmm. the seatbelt on,
mm-hmm.
you stick
click.
The key in the ignition, you get mm-hmm. the click, you turn the key, and what's the sound that you hear on a day when everything is perfect?
And it just starts.
Right. Oh, yeah. Okay, now let's go back.
Okay.
You get in, you put the seatbelt on, click, you put the key in, and what sound does it make when it doesn't start?
It goes, Like it's not getting gas.
Well, I think it's not getting enough electricity.
It's not like it's not getting gas, no.
Yeah, the gas would eventually make it start if it were turning over fast enough. It sounds to me like the engine is not turning over fast enough because...
you need a battery.
Like you need a battery or maybe a starter motor or you have a bad connection someplace because that roar noise...
Uh-huh.
Is wrong.
It should go... And,
okay.
and you verified that by saying that on the days that it does start, it does, in fact, do just that.
Right.
Take it to your mechanic, and he'll be able to tell you whether it's a battery, okay. a starter, or a bad connection.
Okay.
Yeah, but you may need a gas gauge, too. If you're running out of gas when the thing says a quarter full...
Yeah.
I mean, when it says a quarter full, are you driving for like another 4 days before you fill it up?
Gas is so expensive, and, you know, and we're lazy.
Yeah, so he may be more right than you. The gas gauge may be faulty, but the fuel
pump... But you're both wrong about what it's doing.
Okay.
And you should have it looked at as soon as you can, because one of these days it just isn't going to start at all.
Okay.
Like maybe today.
Yeah.
Great. I brought the other car today, though.
Oh, good.
So,
see you, Genevieve.
All right, thanks.
Good
thanks
luck. For thanks for calling.
Thanks. All right,
bye-bye. 888-CAR-TALK. That's 888-227-8255. Hello, you're on Car Talk.
Hello, this is Scott calling from Kennebunkport, Maine.
Hi, Scott.
Kennebunkport.
Yeah, just a little north of you guys.
Yeah, I think I've been there once or twice, but it's...
That's it? Just once or twice?
Yeah, well, only once. The second time was a mistake.
we took a wrong turn. We were looking for New Hampshire. Anyway, what's going on, Scott?
All right, well, I bought a truck in the fall from a friend of mine's brother. It's a 1995 Toyota 4Runner. It's got about 212,000 miles on it. And as I was driving away, I was starting to drive away, he told me, he's like, oh, by the way, just so you know, when it's cold... You get this squeaky sound that's in the dashboard or somewhere around, like, what he thought was the speedometer. So I was like, oh, all right. Well, you know, it was the fall. It wasn't cold yet. Well, you know, as winter has progressed, I've discovered that it makes that noise. Well, essentially...
Tell us exactly what the noise is.
Well, you start the car. We live out on a dirt road. Before you get to the...
Everybody
main road,
lives on a dirt road in Kennebunkport.
No, you'd be surprised. We're one of a few. But, okay, so if you're under 25 miles an hour, it doesn't make the noise. But once you get back to the to a paved road and you start going a little faster, and you get above 25 miles an hour, it starts with this little whine and squeaking, and the speedometer, the needle starts to shake a little bit.
Yeah.
And the faster you go, the louder and more annoying and whining the sound gets.
Sounds like my brother. And eventually, when everything warms up,
it will stop.
And, of course, you must be moving to get the noise. Once you stop moving, the noise stops.
If you come to a stop at a stop sign, it'll stop, and then as you start again. But it'll whine all the way down to where you finally come to a complete stop.
Well, you should be encouraged that after 13 years and 200-odd thousand miles,
that's the only thing
that's
the
wrong.
The truck's great other than that, but I don't know if it's something simple I can just get taken care of. You know, I bought it just to get through the winter, essentially, but... I want to keep it around, and it's something simple. I don't know if there's something I can fix myself.
Sounds like it's the speedometer cable.
Okay.
Now, there's a possibility that it's the speedometer head, but the only way you're going to determine this is to reach behind the dash where the speedometer cable, and I'm pretty sure this 95 still has a cable, and reach behind and disconnect the cable
okay,
from the speedo head.
Mm-hmm.
Then if the noise is still there... Then it clearly isn't the speedometer head, and it's the cable.
Is that something you can grease, or does it just need to be replaced?
You can grease this thing. I mean,
You can.
You can take the end off of the speedometer head, and you can squirt grease or oil down there, basically.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, spray can.
You know.
Okay.
And it'll work maybe for a while. It may work for long enough to get you into the next vehicle, which might be next year.
Yeah.
You know, or if it gets you through the winter, you may be all right.
Or you can just forget about it.
Can't. It's driving them nuts.
Used to it, but if someone calls you on your cell phone and you're driving to work, they can't hear anything
good,
either.
Perfect.
I know, but if it's driving him nuts, pretty soon he'll be nuts and he won't care.
That sound
about
just rings in my head all day.
Yeah.
Well, take the cable off. See if the noise is still there.
Okay.
If it is, you can try. Now that you've got one end of the cable that's connected, you can shoot lubricant down there.
Mm-hmm.
And even before you hook it up, you'll know if it's fixed because the next morning when you drive it, the noise should be gone.
Okay.
All right.
Yeah.
And if it isn't, buy a cable. You can order one from your Toyota dealer.
Okay.
See you, Scott.
All right. Thanks for your help.
Bye-bye.
It's not a bad deal. I mean, you can do this almost easily.
Almost easily, yeah.
Yeah.
Once he takes the hatchet to it and gets 888-CAR-TALK. That's 888-227-8255. Hello, you're on Car Talk.
Hi, this is Michelle from Eugene, Oregon.
Michelle.
Hi, Eugene from Michelle, Oregon. Got it. What's going on?
What's up?
Well, I have a problem with my windshield wipers on my car.
Uh-huh.
It's a 2002 Civic, and it's a great little car, except for the windshield wipers they make this horrible screeching noise, and they don't clean the window. They kind of smear the wet across the window, which makes it very hard to see when I'm driving. And so I put up with the screeching noise as long as I can, and then I turn it off, and then I don't have the windshield wipers on, which means I can't see then either. So I'm driving a lot when I can't
really
see
where
I'm going.
But just answer this one question. Are the windshield wiper blades the same ones that were on there when you bought the car?
No. I've bought four different kinds now. I've tried different brands, and I've tried to replace the entire arm rather than just the blades.
Yeah.
And nothing helps.
There are three pieces here. There's the arm, which attaches to the pivot, and that has a spring in it. Have you replaced that piece?
No.
You haven't replaced
that.
No, not that one.
So what you replace is not just the rubber piece. You replace the entire blade,
which
has springs in it to keep it against the glass. But there is a much larger spring. If you were to grab that wiper arm and pull it away from the window like you do when you clean the window at a gas station, you would see that there's a big spring, and if you let that thing slam down, it'll slap against the...
And break your windshield.
Exactly.
Which will give me a new problem.
Well, on the other hand, it may solve your problem.
Ah.
So one of several things is going. Either those springs have gotten worn out so that, in fact, the blade is not pushing against the window enough. I've never seen an instance where the blade... that spring gets tighter. There's no way to adjust it. So either it's too loose or it's correct. And if you've tried different manufacturers' wiper blades, we can pretty much assume that it isn't that.
It's not the blade, so the only piece left is this piece that my brother's talking
about. And the windshield.
Yeah.
You could have some foreign substance on the windshield.
Well, I've cleaned the windshield, and somebody suggested I use Rain-X.
No, that's the worst thing. That will make them smear.
Okay. And then somebody else suggested I use alcohol. So I've got the bottle of Gordon's gin, and I...
No. Well, that might work.
That'll do it.
Not really. No, I tried alcohol. That didn't help either.
I would try vinegar, actually.
Okay.
Vinegar seems to work pretty well.
I don't think that's what it is. I think it's the arm that's not tight enough.
Did this come on just all of a sudden?
No, it's been like this since I bought the car, and I have done all these things trying to solve the problem. And
of course, when you put the Rain-X on, it ameliorates the situation because the Rain-X is kind of slippery.
Yeah.
But it does. Rain-X is great if you have no wipers.
Right.
No, I'm sure the good people at Rain-X have, good intentions, but every time I put it on any windshield, it's always seemed to make it worse.
Well, the idea is you never use the wipers. You just let it beat up and run off.
Exactly. Except when you have to use them, it's like someone coated your windshield with Vaseline.
All right, here's what you got to do, and you got to do it surreptitiously, because they're not going to like you down at the dealership.
Yeah.
You're going to go to a Honda dealer, and you're going to go into somewhere. You can either go inside, but if there are people in there,
he wants you to take one off.
No. I just want you to feel it. Just go
to
one of the cars that's out there and lift up on the windshield wiper and see if it feels like what yours feels like.
Jeez, I don't think you'll be able to discern.
Oh, I do.
You can do another experiment, Michelle.
Okay.
You can lift the two arms up so they're pointing over, so the wiper blades are not touching the window.
Uh-huh.
Okay.
I don't think I'm going to like this.
Well, I think I might like it. I'm curious to see if, in fact, we are going down the wrong path, which we frequently do, and find out if, in fact, the squeak is not coming from the wiper transmission. You know, the wiper motor is attached to something called a wiper transmission, which is a bunch of pieces of linkage that take the motor just turns around and around and around. But the linkages there allow the wipers to go back and forth.
Uh-huh.
But if you lift those blades up off the glass so that the blades aren't touching the glass, right. and you turn the wipers on, they're going to go back and forth without touching the glass. And if you can still hear the then the problem is not in the blades or the arms, but rather it's in the wiper transmission.
Okay.
Okay, and so and you need to have a transmission replaced. But it's a lot cheaper than the transmission that moves the car.
But, I hope so.
But it could be that, or it could be okay. in the motor. But I would, before you go out and buy any wiper arms or steal any or put any other foreign substances on your windshield.
Steal your son's.
Yes, yeah, steal your son's. It may work. I would certainly do that test. Lift the two blades off the glass and then run the wipers.
Okay.
And if you don't hear, if you hear nothing.
She's going to hear nothing.
Well, then I'd go ahead. Guess. I'd go ahead and replace one of the arms.
Okay.
All right.
Thanks.
Good luck.
Good luck, Michelle.
All righty. Bye-bye.
Bye-bye.
Wow.
All right, look, I'm exhausted. We need to take a short break, and then we have to answer last week's puzzler. Do you remember the puzzler, by the way?
Of course I don't.
Well, it happened to be a sports puzzler. You're an athletic supporter, aren't you?
No. My only sport is competitive espresso macchiato slurping.
Well, the puzzler was about an unusual score in a ball game.
What's a ball game?
Oh, God. Anyway, we'll have the answer and more of your car questions in just a minute, so please stay tuned.
Hot Rod magazine. I cut a lot of lawns to buy an old Camaro at 16. I've had a Trans Am, a 280Z, a Viper, and a Vet. And every time I see a Mustang GT, I break out in a sweat. Turn me into a minivan man. I don't know how, 'cause that's not who I think I am. If I act strange, well, it's a big change, and you'll have to understand. But I'm getting used to being a minivan man.
And even though the Navy thinks about shooting the NPR satellite out of the sky whenever we say it, this is NPR, National Public Radio. Hey, if you find yourself thinking, you know, this show gets worse every time I hear it, why not check out some classic shows from our archives, like when we used to be good?
When was that?
It's just a figure of speech, you know?
You can download any show from the Car Talk archives at cartalk.com. Just click where it says, listen to the show.
Hi, we're back. You're listening to Car Talk with us, Click and Clack, the Tappert Brothers, and we're here to talk about cars, car repair, and, of course, the answer to last week's puzzler. And this was from my Wide World of Sports series. And,
yeah.
And I chose those words very carefully because I wanted to emphasize the word wide.
Wide. Really?
Well, here we go. Yeah. Maybe that'll help those who haven't solved it yet.
Yeah.
A few weeks ago, like millions of other overweight Americans, that's not the wide part, by the way, I sat down with my two sons to watch the Super Bowl.
Ah.
Of course, we had the usual array of sandwiches, chips, soda pop, candy, and the like, and enough of everything so we wouldn't have to budge from our seats until, what, halftime?
Of course.
We had just barely settled into our spots on the sofa when my wife popped in just to make sure that we had the requisite 30,000 calories each of snack foods in front of us. Hey, she said, what's the score? Now, she was not interested in sports at all. We told her that the game had just started and the score was 0-0. Nothing had happened yet. Huh. As she was leaving the room, she said, I know that you three know a lot about sports, maybe everything, right? Well, you know, we didn't want to brag, but we couldn't disagree with her statement, really. We felt confident we could answer any sports question that she could pose. Okay, then, she said, try this one. Your team is losing 6-0. The other team scored 2 field goals to account for its 6 points. Your team then scores 3 field goals in a row while the other team is held scoreless. And now your team leads 7-6. We all shake our heads. No. You got that wrong. That's not possible. Oh, yes, it is, she says, and she's right. The question is, under what circumstances could she be right?
Yeah.
Now, we all know that a field goal is 3 points.
Yes, we do.
Yeah, except that it's not
the wrong
sport. Exactly.
Yes.
Yes, and the wide world of sports meant you had to expand your horizons here. You had to expand your field of thought.
Yes.
Because if you thought about another sport like basketball, a basket in basketball can be either a three-point field goal or a two-point field goal.
Yes.
And you could certainly score one three-pointer and two two-pointers, and you could have 7 points. And the other team had scored 2 3-point field goals, and they had 6 points, and you're ahead. Seven to six. Pretty cute, eh?
Not bad.
Do we have a winner?
Yes, we do. The winner this week is Nancy Mullins from Haddonfield, New Jersey. And for having her answer selected at random from among the heap of correct answers that we got, Nancy's going to get a $26 gift certificate to the Shameless Commerce Division at CarTalk.com, with which she can get a bright red embroidered Car Talk Plaza baseball hat just in time for spring training.
Oh, you going to spring training this year? For drinking espresso?
No need to. I play in a winter league.
Aha! Anyway, we'll have a brand new puzzler in the third half of the show. But in the meantime, if you have a question about your car, there's no need to wait. You can get a lousy answer right now by calling us at 888-CAR-TALK. That's 888-227-8255. Hello, you're on Car Talk.
This is Sheldon in Salt Lake City.
Hi, Sheldon. What's going on, man?
Well, I have a new car question.
Yeah.
Specifically, my wife and I have just purchased a new Suzuki XL7. It's one of these all-wheel drive crossovers.
I know it well.
It's the first time either one of us has ever had an actual new car.
Really?
I'm going down, and because I'm so, shall we say, cheap or frugal with money, I found a better deal on this new car at a dealer about 300 miles away.
Uh-huh.
And so I'm going down to pick this thing up in a couple of days. And when I pick it up, I'm going to hop on the interstate. And it's basically a 300-mile shot on the interstate home. For some reason, I have in the back of my mind that you're not supposed to drive really fast in the first 500 or first 1,000 miles of a new car. I'm going to get killed if I get on the interstate at 55 and drive 300 miles. So I'm wondering, is that an old wives' tale?
What is the speed limit on this road?
Oh, it's 75. It's I-15 interstate.
So how much can we ask a prying question?
Sure.
You're going to have to take a day off from work to do this.
I managed to do it on a weekend.
All right. Uh-huh. How much money are you saving by driving 300 miles
to get a car?
Well, I'm going to fly 300 miles and drive 300 miles back.
Oh, so it's going to cost you $1,000 to do that.
Near as I can tell, it was about $2,500 less to get this than a local one.
Really?
Yeah. Well, there's one wrinkle. It's actually a new 2007 model. So the dealers, our local dealer didn't have a 2007, but there were two or three of them in different states who still had some 07s, so they were a little more anxious to sell.
Yeah, and in fact, if you had asked this dealer that you in your hometown, he would have gone to get this thing for you.
You know, they might have.
Well, that's what they do.
Right. You convinced your wife that this was the way to go.
Yeah.
Yeah, I know. I know. Because it's an adventure.
Exactly.
Yeah, I mean, they could have sent a car carrier and picked this thing up and had it delivered there, but that would have been unexciting. You
what
can say
that?
This is like driving to the factory to pick one up.
Yeah.
So which city are you flying to?
Should you drive at 75 miles an hour for 3 hours? That's what your question.
Yeah, or 4 hours. You know, it's 300 miles.
Well, the answer is no.
No, but you don't have to drive at 55 either, but you should refer to the owner's book, and you can probably find it on their website, what the recommended break-in is.
Okay.
Okay, and whatever the break-in period is and whatever they ask you to do, you should do it. It may tell you not to drive it over 60 miles an hour, for example, for the first 1,000 miles or 500 miles, in which case you should endeavor to do that. We've always felt that it's not a great idea to take a brand-new engine and get into the thing and drive it at very high speed for a long period of time, that you should, in fact, give it a rest.
Well, and given that it's my first ever new car, I don't want to screw it up on the first day.
Yeah.
Go on their website and find out what their break-in recommendation is. There may be none.
Okay.
And one of the reasons that cars of yesteryear had to be broken in so carefully and with such planning was that engines were not put together with the same kinds of tolerances 40 years ago. And when my brother started driving in 1908, it was really an adventure breaking an engine in. And you had to do it carefully and with careful attention to all of the details. Because if the rings didn't seat correctly, then in fact you'd have an engine that perhaps burned oil for its entire life. I would dare say that most modern cars don't require that kind of attention to detail when being broken in.
Okay.
You could take the side roads, you know, and you stay off the interstate.
Well, that's the problem, is the interstate's a straight shot, 300 miles, high speed.
So if you take the side roads, how much longer is the trip?
Well, it depends which side road you take.
Well, how about the side road that's the most direct?
I could actually take the kind of the old state highway 89 and maybe add 40 or 50 miles, but just make a slower drive.
Yeah, that might be worth it.
More scenic.
More scenic.
There you go.
And you'll be treating the car well.
Yeah.
I would do that.
Do that.
Yeah, and
okay.
if you think you're going to get lost, buy the navigation system and get a hotel reservation. It'll cost you about $2,500 for all that. And you'll break even. And you'll have a car that's a year older.
But
other than that, it
dog.
Sounds like a great idea, Sheldon. Anyway, enjoy your trip.
All right, thanks.
And don't let your wife talk you out of it. It sounds like a lot of fun.
Oh, no. It's a done deal.
Oh, no.
It's a done deal. All right.
Take care, man.
All right, you too. Thanks.
Hey, Daisy.
Did we give him any advice? No.
Absolutely. We told him to do it. No, he's doing the right thing. This is something he'll be able to tell his grandchildren about.
Sure. Yeah.
The time that Grandpa got lost driving back home for the one-year-old car.
And it cost him $2,600 to get home.
888-CAR-TALK. That's 888-227-8255. Hello, you're on Car Talk.
Hi, this is Laura from Santa Barbara.
Hi, Laura. What's
up? Laura from Santa Barbara.
I have a Volvo station wagon. It's a V70. It's a 2000.
Okay.
It makes a noise that I don't hear, but we're up visiting my parents. I know.
Well, it's making a noise that you don't hear.
Perfect.
Well, how do you know it's making the noise?
Well, can you make the noise for us?
I will make the noise.
How can you make the noise? You don't hear it.
My mother's sitting next to me in the car, and she literally throws her hands up and says, "What's that noise?"
Oh.
And I say, "I don't know."
But when she says that, do you hear it?
Then I hear it.
Ah, it's your mother.
Then I hear it.
And you only hear it when your mother's in the car?
Or my high schooler carpool, yeah. They all hear it, too.
Oh, they all hear it. Oh, it's you then. All right.
All right. Well,
what's the noise?
Well, maybe they're hearing it because they're sitting in the passenger seat.
Aha. Uh-huh.
But go ahead. What's the noise?
It goes like this. It starts out with a...
Huh?
Heck of a noise.
That is a heck of a noise.
And then it sort of, as I accelerate, it gets more ba-ba-ba-ba-ba. And then it
and is
makes
it,
a,
is it really ba-ba-ba?
Kind of a ba-ba-ba. Kind of a fast-paced ba-ba-ba, but a ba-ba-ba-ba-ba-ba-ba.
So it does not sound like a metallic noise? Because ba-ba-ba is kind of a dead sound. So it is a dead sound. It's not a bang sound or a...
It's not a bang sound. And it seems to be that it ba-ba-buzz as I accelerate. And then when I stop, it goes away. And then I don't hear it for the rest of the day. I only hear it in the morning.
And the people on the right side of the car hear it, and you on the left side of the car, the driver, don't hear it until somebody says, "Laura, wake up!" So if you were to give me two other things that you could bang together to make the bub 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 noise, would it? If you can't think of anything, I'll suggest a few things.
It sounds like if you take like a rubber tub, the kind that you put cold drinks in when you're having a party, and you bang a spoon on it.
Okay.
Uh-huh. Okay, that's what I thought.
Yeah, I was going to suggest a dead fish hitting against a drum head.
No, I got it.
And it increases in frequency as you speed up.
Yes.
It sounds like a tire. And then you say it goes to this noise. And how long does that noise last? Is that a momentary noise, or is it a long-term noise?
It's kind of a momentary noise.
And so name us two things that would make that sound.
Yeah.
Like dropping a cookie tin down a flight of stairs?
Yeah, sure.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, sure?
Yeah, it's a rattly, yes.
That's a rattly sound.
Yeah.
So we have the dead fish, or the wooden spoon.
Yeah.
And the falling cookie sheet.
Falling cookie sheet, yeah.
Jeez.
Wow.
And does the cookie sheet sound stay there for a second?
Well, that goes away too, yeah. If I'm getting on the highway, we and then as I get like 55-ish, 60-ish, then we do cookie sheet. And then once I kind of get up to like, you know, 70, I'm good.
And you never hear either of these sounds again once you hit the highway speed.
Correct.
And then what happens when you are exiting the highway?
It seems like by then everything's warmed up and it's worked out the kinks and we're good to go and I don't hear them for the rest of the day. Until the morning when we start all over.
Does anyone screen these calls?
Yeah. Laura, we have the Chinese food's being delivered. It's time for our lunch break, so we have to run off.
We'll call you back.
But you know,
hold on. We're going to have to.
We may have to spin the wheel of automotive misfortune here. But before we do that, I'm not ready to give up quite yet. I mean,
I'm not either.
I do feel that the bub was a tire.
I like that.
But if we're to believe that the two noises are somehow related, then I'm going to think it's not a tire, but maybe a sticking brake. I think it's a sticking caliper, and it may account for both noises.
Not the bum-bum-bum noise.
Well, it could if you have a warped disc rotor.
That's
the pads
possible.
Are kind of slapping, boop, 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 as that warped disc comes around and moves the... And then finally you get to high enough speed, and it'll be... The crescendo will be this...
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Might you feel a pulsation in the brake pedal ever? Like when you, if you were, for example, on the highway doing 70 and you had to slow down and you stepped on the brake, would you feel any vibration in the brake pedal? Your silence says everything, Laura.
I'm thinking, no.
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 No. You wouldn't want to reconsider. Were you prepared with a backup question today? I mean, we tell all our callers.
Spin the wheel. We got no hope.
I know. Volvo, what are we
going to
do?
No, well, I'm
scaring my passengers with the noise.
All right, we're going to spin the wheel.
It is interesting that when you're in the car alone, that you hadn't heard this noise and only heard it when someone called your attention to it.
Yeah, when they pointed out, I think, oh, okay, there it is.
Is that are you just a space shot and oblivious to most everything around you, or is it really that subtle?
Louder than I gave it credit for. Yeah, I just drive along, doodly-doo.
So
yeah.
Now, even when you're alone in the car, you hear the noise?
Yes. Now that they've pointed it out to me, I hear it, yes.
Yeah, I think it's been there for so long that you just forgot about it.
Yes. Mm-hmm.
I mean, the good news is, if it's making this noise for a very long period of time, it probably isn't anything serious. So I'm going to go...
I don't think it's a tire.
I may have to... No, I don't think it's a tire either, and I may have to retract my theory about the warped disc brake rotor.
I like that theory.
I do like it, but just to be on the safe side and to give you an alternative, we're going to spin the wheel.
I am ready.
Okay, here we go.
Ooh, it came up. You ready for this?
Oh, so close.
Oh, no, it is. It's right on the... It comes...
Right between.
It comes between two things. You ready for this?
This is awesome. This thing is magic.
This is magic. The left-hand one says... Exhaust system hitting bottom of the car, which could account for the boom, boom, boom.
And the right side says...
Now, it's right on the peg, so it could be either one.
It could be either one. The other side says low tire pressure.
Okay.
And it could be that, too.
It could be that.
And as you drive the car and it heats up...
This thing has never worked before. Never.
This is the first time, Laura. You are a witness to history.
Yay!
Yeah, so it could be either one of those, and low tire pressure could certainly get ameliorated once you drove the car and the tire pressure increased because of, you know, the friction created.
Yeah.
And then the noise goes away, and that would fit in nicely with my original feeling that it was a bad tire, but low tire pressure could be.
Low tire pressure is wonderful.
Laura, we may be on to nothing here. But, you know... Yeah, make sure that none of your wheels are going to fall off. I trust they're not going to. One of them would have fallen off by now. But if this is that easily reproduced, you ought to be able to take it to any shop. They can put it on the lift and run the car. And I bet you if they don't hear it up in the air, then it does lend credence to the low tire pressure theory.
Yeah.
Oh, perfect.
I love it.
Yes.
Laura, I can't tell you what a joy it's been talking to you.
It has been a joy. Thank you. This solves part of the mystery.
See you later. Thanks for your call.
Bye.
Bye-bye.
Wow.
All right, it's time for us to pause the action here. See, sounds like we're the game of the week or something.
No, we're just the joke of the week, as usual.
All right, well, when we come back, we'll have more of your calls and a brand new puzzler from my Lost Wages series.
Oh, sounds intriguing.
You think?
No.
Please stay tuned. And even though Amy Winehouse says, geez, get some help, guys, whenever she hears us say it, this is NPR, National Public Radio. Ha! We're back. You're listening to Car Talk with us, Click and Clack, the Tappert Brothers. And we're here to talk about cars, car repair, and, of course, the new Puzzler.
I can hardly wait.
Which is from my Lost Wages series. And this was sent in by Catherine Curtis.
With a K?
No.
A C?
No.
Q?
There you go.
Catherine with a Q.
She says, I submitted this puzzler a long time ago, but alas and boohoo, it was never chosen. So I decided to try again. I really think it's a neat puzzler and that your audience would enjoy figuring it out. So here goes.
Yeah, go ahead.
A man is visiting Las Vegas, known for gambling casinos and the like.
Yeah.
And he falls for the local hype and heads for a casino with hopes of hitting it big during his stay. He goes into this unusual casino that charges a dollar to enter as well as a dollar to leave. So he pays his dollar, plays the, you know, machines, whatever, the slot machines, loses half his money, and in disgust pays his $1 and leaves.
Gotcha.
You're so with me so far?
Yeah.
The following day, he knows he'll do better. He takes the money he has left and heads out to the same casino. He pays his buck.
Goes in.
But just like before, he again loses half his money, pays another dollar to get out of the place. Right?
Yeah.
On the third day, he figures he'll give it one more shot, but his money is dwindling fast. The same thing happens. After paying his $1 entrance fee, he again loses half his money.
Yeah.
And finally pays his last dollar.
To get out.
To get out. So he's flat broke when he leaves.
Whoa.
Okay. So the question very simply is,
what color is his hair?
That too. How much money did he
start with?
Now, if you think you know the answer, etch it onto a Troy-built Proline 160cc rototiller with a Honda GX overhead valve engine, forward rotating bolo tines with power reverse, adjustable tilling depth, that's very important, protective front bumper, and a whole planting season's worth of Bengay. Send it to Puzzler Tower, Car Talk Plaza, Box 3500, Harvard Square, Cambridge.
Our fair city.
Matt 02238.
Or you can email us your answer from cartalk.com.
But right now, if you have a car question for us, we're at 888-CAR-TALK. That's 888-227-8255. A lawyer on Car Talk.
Hi, it's Donna from Saratoga Springs, New York.
Donna, Saratoga, one of my favorite cities.
That is a nice place.
In New York.
A great place. Great place to watch the horses run in the summer.
Well, it used to be the site of bluegrass.
Well, we used to go to a bluegrass festival in a nearby town.
What was the town?
Corinth.
Oh, yeah.
Oh, yes. Yes, up on the Hudson River.
Yeah. So we used to pass through Saratoga, and then we always used to lose my brother. So we turned out, where's Tom? He's at the racetrack.
In the summer, that's where you'd find him, huh?
Yeah,
that's
and it. Then the rest of us would go to the festival and listen to the music, and a few days later, he'd show up. Anyway, what's up, Donna?
I drive a 2005 Jeep Grand Cherokee Laredo. Uh-huh. It's my second Jeep in a row. I waited 9 years to buy another Jeep. The other one had 200,000 miles on it. It was a 96, ran like a tank.
Yeah.
This one sounds like a tank. When I turn into a parking lot and I'm idling and it's downshifting into first gear, so dropping from, say, like 10, 12 miles an hour down to 4 or 5 miles an hour where you're cruising looking for a space.
Yeah.
I get this huge, and I know it's the transmission, clunk, clunk, and the whole car shudders. People turn around. People grab their children. I look out the back to see if anything's laying in the parking lot behind me. Uh-huh. And then this foul smell that resembles the odor of natural gas, like in a stove, comes out of the vents. What is that?
Really?
What?
Like if I have the defrost or the heat on low, if I have any of the, you know, any of the air things working at all, it doesn't matter if it's air in the summer or heat in the winter. That smell comes out of the vent after the kerclunk and the shudder. It frightens people that
doesn't
are walking.
Anybody screen these calls?
Don, I got to tell you right now, we got a snowball's chance in hell of answering this question.
Well, let me tell you.
I don't think even the wheel can help us. I mean, I've been looking at the wheel while you've been describing this. I'm trying to say, geez, you know, bad ground. No.
Yeah, wow.
When the car was a week old, the O-rings were bad, on this model's transmissions. So I came out, jumped in the garage one morning, put the door up, backed out, and looked, and there was a large pool of transmission fluid on my concrete garage floor. So that wasn't good. So I immediately called the dealership, and they said, oh, yeah, the O-rings are bad. And I said, you were going to tell me when, you know?
So tell me again, you're slowing down in a parking lot.
You're slowing down. So you turn in. Say you're going 25 down the outer street there. You turn in. So now you've dropped to, like, 10. And as the car downshifts.
Well, that's making that last downshift into first.
Into first gear. Right.
Okay.
Right. So it's that last downshift. It makes this kerclunk. It's a two-syllable clunk.
A two-syllable clunk.
Yep.
And then the smell.
And then within a minute, you get the smell.
And there's no other time where you get the smell.
Well, sometimes if I'm sitting at a light with my foot on the brake to turn, you know, just waiting, sitting still, I'll get the smell sometimes, too.
Uh-huh. And you haven't seen anything leaking in your driveway?
Not since they replaced the O-rings when we had the transmission flood. And I'm telling you, the car was less than a week old at the time that happened.
Yeah.
So when I take it to the dealership, because naturally you would, you know, the car only has 33,000 miles on it, it's still under warranty.
And what have they said?
They say, let us hook it up to the computer. And they go, oh, yes, we need to download some transmission software.
Right. They need to. They want to upgrade your software.
They did.
Want to give you a version 7.5.
Listen, I'm at version 17.5. They've upgraded my software so frequently. I have the most upgraded software of any realtor in the Northeast.
And when they and when they do this, when they reprogram the computer, does it fix the kerclunk?
No, it's never fixed the kerclunk, and it's never fixed the foul smell.
But is the dealership aware of all this stuff going
on? Absolutely.
And what do they say?
Oh, that's interesting.
Well, that's what we're saying, too.
You've no idea. I've stumped the team.
Well, no, I mean, I wouldn't be surprised if there's something wrong with the transmission that monkeying with the software is not going to fix it. It may be some internal problem, maybe a stuck solenoid or something in the transmission.
They have checked the solenoid.
Yeah,
rechecked the O-rings.
See, what I'm trying to figure out, and I think what's bothering me is I can't make a connection between the kerclunk, you know, the noise and the feeling, the jolt, and the smell.
It feels like the car lifts up and sinks down when it kerclunks. The ker is up and the clunk is down.
The car lifts up?
Yep. It shudders from top to bottom, like up and down. It's like an up and down kerclunk.
See, it may be two completely unrelated things.
I don't know. But I loved my old Jeep, which is why I bought a new one. I fly fish. I go up in the Adirondack Mountains and I fly fish and I need a Jeep, you know?
Yeah, is that college kid still around? Maybe you can swap him. Look, have I got a deal for you? Well, I don't know what the smell is, and I don't think it's coming from the transmission, but I'm not convinced, in fact, that anything is coming from the transmission anymore.
Yikes.
I have a feeling that the problem may be in something called the center differential. This is an all-wheel drive vehicle.
Yeah. Yes, it is, full time.
And is this likely to happen when you're turning into, like, a parking space, you get the clunk?
No, it's just when you're, like, cruising looking for one, you know?
You're going straight ahead.
You're going 2 to 3 to 4 miles an hour driving down an aisle, and the kerclunk takes place as you drop to that speed. So you're dropping in. It's the downshift in from second to first.
Yeah,
okay, there goes that thing.
Yeah, okay. Well, Donna, we've done our level best here, but I'm going to tell you something.
I should get a T-shirt.
You're going to get 3 T-shirts. You're going to need them. This is a very interesting problem. Isn't that what the guy at the dealership said?
It's interesting.
Yeah, no, I think you are owed a repair here, whatever it takes. And you should say, look, let me drive something else in your lot, even if it's a used one. And you guys keep this and you drive it till you figure it out.
You know something? You're right. I'm going to try that.
Good luck.
Thanks.
See you, Donna.
All righty. Bye-bye.
Bye-bye. 888-CAR-TALK. That's 888-227-8255. Hello, you're on Car Talk.
Hey, guys. This is Josh calling from Seattle, Washington.
What's happening, man?
I've got less of a automotive problem, more of an automotive mystery.
Yeah.
I drive a 96 Subaru Legacy sedan. It's got about 175,000 miles on it. I was driving home the other night, and I heard what sounded like a firecracker going off in the trunk, a big one. And my first thought was, oh, man, that can of soda that's been rolling around for 2 weeks just blew all over my backpack and my jacket. But, you know, eventually I was in traffic, and about 10 minutes later I pulled over, and I found out that it wasn't that.
No.
And it wasn't really anything that I could see at first.
Right.
But I found four things. I found that the trunk was really hard to get open. I found that once it was open, it would no longer stay open under its own volition. I found that when it closed really fast and really hard, like it's a finger remover now.
Yeah. Right.
And then I found this piece of metal laying in the trunk, and I cannot find what it broke off of. It's clearly broken, but there's no other piece that's missing a chunk in the trunk.
Well, the trunk, this is a 96 Legacy. It has, I don't know if this thing has gas pistons that hold up the trunk or if it has some kind of a spring mechanism.
Okay.
Years ago, all trunks were held up by springs. In other words, there was a spring, but it didn't look like a spring in the traditional sense. In other words, it wasn't a coil. It was a piece of metal that was in torsion when you opened the trunk.
Okay.
So there was
it was just a springy hunk of metal.
It was a springy hunk of metal that was jammed into a spot so that it pushed on the trunk and held it open. And then to close the trunk, you had to overcome that spring and, in fact, twist it so that when you then opened the trunk, as soon as you turned the key to open the trunk, boom, it would pop open.
I see. Okay. Do you want me to explain to you what this piece looks like?
Sure. Give it a shot.
I mean, it could be something like that. It's about, I'd say, 3 inches long, and it's almost like a squared-off U shape. And at the not the end where the two parallel lines connect, but the other end, it bends away like a seven. And one of those bend away pieces is there, and the other one is broken off. And it's about the width of a ballpoint pen. It's powder coated black, but the broken off piece is clearly just metallic silver inside.
Yeah, I have no idea what it is.
Okay.
But it's undoubtedly a piece of whatever was holding the spring on. So when you open your trunk, you do not have two little black pistons on either side of your trunk?
No, I do not.
You don't. Then you have the spring mechanism like cars of yesteryear used to have.
Okay.
I'm guessing that what actually broke is not the spring, because you'd see this long piece now in two pieces. But
right.
What broke is the little part of the body that the spring attaches to that keeps it in tension when the trunk is closed.
I see.
So for either you're going to have to fix this. You could have somebody, if you can find where that piece went, you could have somebody weld it back on.
Uh-huh.
Or you could get yourself
a junkyard.
Or you could get yourself a broom handle.
Okay. Now, it's really, I mean, the functionality, I can still, you know, hold something in there. It's just a matter of getting my fingers in and out safe. So
right.
If I just go with it and don't let my 6-year-old anywhere near it, I should be okay, right?
You'll be fine.
Yeah.
Okay.
Don't worry about it.
With 175,000 miles, I don't feel like putting a lot of money into the trunk.
Yeah, no, get a broom handle to hold the trunk up. That's all.
All right.
It'll
Sounds
be fine.
Like
just
plan.
Hope that it doesn't fall on your head when you're putting something in there.
Yeah,
try
yeah.
not to knock the broomstick out.
Yeah, that'd be bad.
See you, Josh.
Thanks a lot.
Thanks for your call.
Good luck.
Bye-bye. 888-CAR-TALK. That's 888-227-8255. Hello, you're on Car Talk.
Hi, this is Anna calling from San Diego, California.
Anna,
Hi,
San
Anna.
Diego.
What's going on?
Well, I have a 1988 Honda Civic, which is a hand-me-down from my dad.
We've had some old cars today.
Really?
88. So go ahead. I'm sorry.
It's good.
So when I got this car from my dad, he made me promise never to drive it on the freeway. And my office mates think that this is stupid and ridiculous. And the solution is to drive on the freeway and just not tell my dad.
Wait a minute now. If your friends think that this is stupid and ridiculous, that means they think your father is stupid and ridiculous, and they better watch out.
Because we have your father online, too.
How many miles on this vehicle?
There's 134,000.
No, but what it doesn't have is an airbag.
No.
And that's why your father doesn't, and it doesn't have any kind of side impact protection. Basically, this car was like driving a V8 can with wheels.
You know? Well, I'm not sure. He didn't claim no airbag as the reason not to drive it on the freeway. He just claimed it's old.
It's old, number it's one, old, but yeah. it's little. If you look at if you compare this to the current Civic, it's like two-thirds the size. It doesn't have any airbags of any kind. Doesn't have anti-lock brakes. It doesn't have any of the things that the new Civic has that make it at least safe enough marginally to be on the road with the Lincoln Navigators.
And I would have to agree with your father. You shouldn't drive it on the freeway.
Okay.
So where are you going to go that would necessitate a drive on the freeway?
Well, see, that's the question. If you're in San Diego, it's kind of an adventure to get a lot of places without the freeway.
Yeah.
I've done a lot of getting lost in the middle of the night.
Oh, yeah. So you've been following your father's advice.
Oh, yeah. I've been not driving on the freeway because I promised my dad I wouldn't. And
good
one,
for
I
you.
Promised my dad. And two, I'm a really bad liar. It wouldn't work.
No,
to
no. Eventually,
just
and
how
it,
old are
it
you?
Would catch up to you.
I'm 23.
That's great. You're doing everything right.
Hey, you know what you need,
what
Anna?
What could be better?
I tell you exactly what you need.
A new car.
No. Well, yeah, you need a navigation system.
Oh.
So you won't get lost taking the side roads. I have a little...
But can you tell the navigation system?
Yes, my Magellan says, do you want to take no highways? Or,
oh, really?
Yeah, you can either avoid freeways and take all the secondary roads.
Wow.
Or you can say, get me there as fast as you possibly can, in which case it'll put you on the freeway.
And you have one of these?
Yeah.
Really?
Wow. It's a wonderful thing. And you know the best thing about it is I don't have to listen to my wife anymore say, would you ask for directions? And that's the real reason I wanted the thing, because it was killing me to say, no, I'll find the place. But that's exactly what you need. You can get one for as little as a few hundred bucks, or you can get the fancy one for like seven or eight.
I've been doing pretty well with my really good book of maps.
Good for you.
Okay. This is to settle the dispute between my office mates and I have to promise my dad.
Well, tell your office mates that when they want to go on the freeway, they'll have to use one of their cars.
Okay.
See you, Anna.
Thanks.
Take care. Bye-bye.
Good for you.
You too. Bye.
Well, it's happened again. You've wasted another perfectly good hour listening to Car Talk.
Talking to them.
Our esteemed producer is Doug the Subway Fugitive, not a slave to fashion, Bongo Boy Berman. Our associate producers are Louis Cronin, the Barbarian, and David Gibraltar Green. Our senior web lackey is Doug the Old Gray Mare. Our engineer is John Cartman Parotti. And our technical, spiritual, and menu advisor is just back from the Sebastopol, Loin of Mole, Lemon Sole, Chowder Bowl, Curried Vole, Donut Hole, and Tootsie Roll Lunch Patrol is John Bugsy Lawler. Our public opinion pollster is Paul Murky of Murky Research, assisted by statistician Margin of Error. Our customer care representative is Heywood Jabuzoff. Our personal makeup artist is Bud Tugley. Our second shift meteorologist is Cloudy Overnight. Our windshield wiper replacement team is Ike and Zeke Learley. Our rollerblading instructor is Landon McEaster. Our day-old seafood chef is Amelia Luce. Our food taster is Howard M. Burgers. Our optometric firm is CFI Care. Guest accommodations are provided by the Horseshoe Road Inn. And the head of our working mother support group is Erasmus B. Dragon. Our chief counsel from the law firm of Dewey, Cheatham & Howe is Hugh Lewis Dewey, known to the all but tenured protesters in Harvard Square as Huey Louie Dewey. Thanks so much for listening. We're Click and Clack, the Tappert Brothers. Don't drive like my brother.
Don't drive like my brother.
We'll be back next week. Bye-bye. CDs of the show, which is number 809, along with Car Talk clothing, audio collections, and other Car Talk gifts, are available at 888-CAR-JUNK or by going to the Shameless Commerce Division of our website, cartalk.com.
Also this week at cartalk.com, I have a little note here from NPR Management. It says, please let your 7 listeners know they can now write their own reviews of your show on the Car Talk website.
Uh-oh.
What do you mean, uh-oh? What's that mean?
I don't know. It must be contract renewal time. They're obviously collecting evidence against us.
Review our shows for your fellow listeners.
And be nice.
And download podcasts of other reviewed shows all week at cartalk.com.
Car Talk is a production of Dewey, Cheatham & Howe and WBUR in Boston.
And even though Roger Clemens repeatedly stabs his radio with a syringe whenever he hears us say it, this is NPR, National Public Radio.